Hi all, welcome to Ecolution. I'm Evie Kenny, and this week we're continuing what's become a mini-series on nature connection in schools. It's the last week of school for most of you, and I'm sure your teachers are as pleased as you are that the year is coming to an end. A long summer break awaits, and hopefully it'll be a sunny one. Over the past weeks, some warm, dry days have allowed lots of teachers to get outside with their classes. A few weeks back, we did a programme on the outdoor classroom in Kirkleston, and it seems to have struck a chord. There are so many teachers who want to get outside, but sometimes, due to where they are or lack of access to an obvious wild space, they don't know how best to start. The great thing is you can get help on your first step outside and into nature. Some time ago, somebody I know quite well was doing just that, helping students on the road to connection.
Okay, and Fabian and Chess of the Kirkle I know made one.
My name is Katrina, I'm Evie's man, and I also have a job, and I'm Education Officer for Global Action Plan. Today we're in Coltree Park in Ballymun, which is one of the nicest parts of my job, where I get to come out to the park with local children and learn about nature and why it's important to take care of our local area.
My name is Poppy.
My name is Sadie.
My name is Charlie.
And we're from First Class Guelph School Ballymunna.
The park we go to is beside our school. There's a playground, bees, lots of birds.
We've been talking about all the plants and bugs living everywhere.
Learning about all the plants and flowers and trees.
We've seen loads of insects, spiders, ants and bloodsuckers.
And if you harm them, they'll harm you back. But we made a bug hotel for them to relax in.
We had to go looking for rubbish and picked them up with a little machine. We found loads of rubbish. The animals might eat and you might get sick.
As with any outside activity, students start by becoming acquainted with the area around them.
Okay, cock-a-doodle-doo!
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
Okay, August Thomas in Park Coltree, I imagine. August Kane size for the Cahimid Feck at the Maclehai, Baby Grill Don Sherrocks Park.
Salakni
Madre. Salakni
Madre.
Glynna.
Taglor Plondi, so Neil Tussig.
So we look out for broken glass, dog poo, and we are careful of all the plants.
We load the seagulls in on school garden when we are leaving.
So we do it through games and play and song. Poems and a lot of sensory activities where we do bug hunts, we touch trees and get to know them, we look at leaves, we try and recognise plants, and we spend a lot of time chatting about what we find and what we see.
My favourite part of it was when we were using the picker powers, because that was fun and we get to walk around, and we also got to go in here to try and find some for a little while.
Nature is very important because all the nature keeps you healthy.
I'm Muintir Sharon and I'm one of the teachers in Gaelscoil Ballymunna. I've been taking first class out for the last few weeks with the Global Action Plan in Katrina, and they really enjoyed it. I think it's important for the children to see that there's more to just learning than being in the classroom, and it's lovely for them to experience the fresh outdoors. Some of them hadn't been to Bull Island or to the Guardian Glass where we went to a few weeks. They got to see lots of plants, and it's really important for them to, I suppose, learn the words in English and in Irish, and to see that we all need to care for nature, and in particular the rubbish in the area sometimes can be quite bad. It's great for them to learn at this age, and hopefully they'll continue with it in the future for their own children and generations to come.
Not every school has a lot of green space, let alone the room to have an outdoor classroom. But there are many ways towards safe exploration of places, both urban and rural. And kids are often delighted by what they find.
I got a caterpillar.
For my nettle, and for my nantoke.
Sun and green.
I got paste, August warm.
For my own, August river.
Fair grass.
Your mate Shelida, August snail.
Magpie and stag. No clue what that is.
Okay, wrong hand. Rush the circle of the hole. Tara, rush and show Charlie.
Indeed. As the kids raced back into line, it made me think about how much fun this could be for grown-ups too. School is such a natural place for play and nature education to cross over. And for our YouTube panel a few weeks back, it was clear that for many of them, their nature journey started in earnest at school.
One thing I found is that you need at least one person to get the ball rolling. So do any of you have teachers or people who inspire you and make things happen in your homes or schools? Hugh, I'll go to you.
I do. His name is Mr. Edgar. He's the head of our Green Schools Committee at school.
I think the same as Hugh, our Green Schools Coordinator, Miss Gray. She's been amazing, like ever since we joined in first year. She's never pushed anything onto us, her own environmental beliefs or anything. She's let us lead the committee where we wanted to go and been that kind of guiding hand and like a massive, I suppose, inspiration for all of us. She's given all of her time, like any Saturday we needed her, she'd go up to Dublin with us on long days and come home with the train at 10 o'clock. She's just so kind about everything, and I think it's definitely something that makes her so inspirational.
So lovely to hear. And Yu Ming, who drives the conversation in your school?
I think it's definitely Mr. Graham once again. Yeah, like he does absolutely phenomenal work in regards to trying to involve younger years and all. Like he's so generous in giving up his time.
But at home, I'd have to say again, my dad, everything I know comes from him. And he's really like helped me in like this climate activism space, and like he's a climate activist himself, and he's just so like educated in all things climate, so I'm very grateful to him for that.
Incredible. I have the same thing with my mum. She has really driven everything I know to this day.
Teachers are more than willing to spend time over the summer trying to learn new things so that they can pay it forward to their classes in the new year. We joined a group of teachers on the banks of the Dodder doing just that.
My name is Aileen Bright and I'm Globe Country Coordinator. I work out of the Environmental Education Unit of Ontashka. Globe is an international science and education programme that's coordinated out of the United States. It's sponsored by NASA in America, and here in Ireland we are sponsored by the Irish Environmental Protection Agency. So we are going to walk from here in Herbert Park. We're going to walk a short distance to the Dodder, which is a great river to go to because it's got such a great history along it. But also, I think it's had a lot of modifications by humans, you know, a lot of construction along the banks, there's lots of concrete around, there's graffiti, so it's kind of gritty in some way, but then it's also like a beautiful habitat at the same time, so it's not like completely destroyed. Like if you walk along, you can see kingfishers, there's lots of activity around the trees, lots of birds, so there's a lot of positive points. Some of the habitats have been preserved, some have not.
So I'm Sabrina, I work with Ontashka, and we've been out with teachers for 2 days now. The way we go about that is really to try and get teachers to bring their students outside first and really getting familiar with their area, both appreciating what is there. So we're going to look at trees and we looked at sky, but also to realize how much humans we change our areas by building it up. It gives you a local perspective on what problems and solutions might be, and you can have a discussion and maybe actions.
That local perspective can be unique to your area, of course, and there was a huge diversity of experience among the teachers who gathered from across the country.
Hi, I'm Ciarán. I teach in Swords in a Deis school. I teach a number of things. One thing I teach is horticulture, but I'm very interested in environmental issues. So I've signed up for a week-long course just to learn more about how I can introduce environmental topics to my students. I don't think it's easy because you have a curriculum that you have to stick to quite often. You're tied down to exams as well, especially for students doing Leaving Cert. So you just have to try and make that time for this type of thing. Getting students outdoors, encouraging them to think about the important issues that we're going to be facing in the next generation.
My name is Rebecca Ronan and I am with Scoltrass and AIFA in Dublin 8. We're lucky, even though we're a city centre school, to have a lovely garden, so we have tried to put some resources in there where we have an outdoor table. So it is becoming easier to incorporate it, to get outside, but it's still very difficult because the curriculum doesn't lend itself to outdoor learning. And there's so much pressure to achieve just academically. I mean, results can be gotten in so many different ways, whereas I think the Irish primary curriculum needs to maybe change a lot more to be a bit more diverse.
My name is Paul Cuttahy. I'm a teacher in Kilkenny. I've learnt a lot. I've made friends,
I've developed greater awareness. We had a terrific time with the two gents from the Environmental Protection Agency yesterday, and the speakers who are within the organisation here are doing a really good job. And we need to promote greater environmental awareness amongst our students and amongst our communities. And can I tell you, the park we're in is the kind of park the whole country should have.
Hi, I'm Anne McLaughlin. I'm the principal in St. Columba's National School on Inishturk. And we will have 4 students in September, so it would be one of the smaller schools on the island. I've gained a huge amount in terms of environmental awareness this week and how I can bring it and engage with my children in the school. The beauty of any small school is that kids learn to be independent learners. That's one thing that we forget with children. Children will always engage with things at their level. And you can talk a little bit over their head. That doesn't matter too much because they will absorb the information that they understand and be able to build on it. And then the older child in general will sit down and explain quite a bit to whichever of the 3 younger children want more information. So it kind of works. In terms of professional and personal development, I just need to upskill in the whole area because I'm kind of a linguist. Sort of that would have been my first love, and now I need to go back and kind of broaden my skill set and make sure that I'm teaching the kids to be good geographers and good scientists and embrace the environment they live in. That's why I'm doing the course.
If we can pass it on to our students a love of the earth and how to protect it, I think that's probably one of the most important things we can teach.
So teachers really want to teach this. They have a desire to encourage the natural instinct to get our hands dirty that all kids enjoy from a very young age.
Babies are our best environmental educators. They walk around in their bare feet, they put their hands in mud, they pick things up off the ground, they explore the world around them. And at some point between being a baby and going to school, oftentimes that is lost. And for me, nature education and outdoor education is about finding that skill again and using all of your senses when you're outside and really getting to know your environment, because we're part of it and it's part of us.
And the benefits of just a few weeks focusing on nature connection during the week really pays off. Kids learning that the creepy crawlies they might sometimes run from are nothing to be scared of. In fact, they would really benefit from our help.
Okay,
oh, wait, Mill Poor Katrina.
Yeah?
On Bay Minute Generation, they march. Oh, because for me, Ruddy, you go on Bug Hotel. For me, toilet roll, hold of the Gorration, so talk and be a taster. Mr. Freshen.
So we were learning about what insects need in the park, because we did a bug hunt here, didn't we?
Yeah.
And what did we find?
Ants. Snails.
Worms.
Phalacon.
AIDS. Bloodsuckers.
Yeah. We needed somewhere for the insects to go.
Spiders
do an ala. So sha a osana fehedi, right? So to shola high in school, August ta from ella agam, August is fader leve a creek new air school. I'm shin clerk at Ormond. There's another frame to for you to finish another bug hotel.
Yeah. Is there any bees in there?
There's no bees in there yet, but if we put it somewhere sunny and warm, bees will come.
Mid-Turfrick, that's really my piece. Shin
on
that's
Dottie. My piece.
Shinga Hallin, Poppy.
That's my piece. Wonder an egg on pinching.
Yeah, Shinga Hallin.
And Aileen from Globe would agree. In her example, a local river offers a perfect learning opportunity.
I'd always advise, like, especially with the younger kids, like, they're really observant and they've got great capabilities in terms of citizen science, which we tend to kind of underplay that, but we're all citizen scientists at heart, I believe. So I tell them to keep an eye out for the obvious pollution. So that would be plastic pollution, people dumping things next to rivers, because eventually that will break down and it's all part of a bigger system and it'll just go out to the sea and then it becomes more of a problem there. So yeah, watch out for pollution. And then if you want to have a look, you know, you can stop by the river, you can smell, you can look around, look for signs of life, the birds, the insects, the fish in the water, and that'll tell you if they're there, you know, there's something good, there's a habitat there to support that. If you see a bunch of concrete, the water's not moving very fast, it's stagnant in places, there's an odour to it, or maybe it has a different colour that looks a bit funny, there's a problem. And I'd always urge people to report a problem if they see it in their local stream or, you know, river, because they, all those streams and rivers, you know, feed into bigger rivers and then out to the sea eventually. So it's important just to keep a general eye on our waters.
Those watercourses are interconnected, with damage in one place leading to impacts elsewhere. And that connection is one that we, as part of nature, share too.
Now remember the first week when we were talking about everything in the park being connected to each other, and how if we don't have insects in the park, we won't have birds visiting the park. Do you remember that? And if we don't have the right things growing in our park, we won't have all the animals and creatures visiting. So we spoke about them being connected. Vekianga thalakela, okay? So thamina con an kiangal shina yenav lakela lena fukala thaagwan. So we're going to make those connections with the words that we have.
I gave out a piece of card to everybody with the English and the Irish because it's a Gaelscoil, and I had a hard time translating some of them with different words on it. So words like sun, river, earthworm, bumblebee.
We just played a game where how many things are connected, but everything is connected to each other.
We got a piece of string and then we connected it around the circle.
So green ignoa, okay. So, hos noe se laxa. On will aim the natan shot, a will kiangalta, less on green. So, does any of the things on your piece of paper, are they connected with the sun, or do they need the sun to survive? Piece of shot?
No.
Yeah?
Okay.
So, on Casarvon, the dandelion, what is connected to that? Cuddle with kiangalta, Berg Limer?
River.
Cane fog?
Fire.
So, ishcake tasta, why?
You can't be alive if you don't have water around you.
That's very true. So an ear, on the soil, what's connected with that?
Oh,
nyanto, the nettles.
And I asked at the end, what would happen if I started to cut the string between some of the pieces of card, or between the people?
If it gets cut, the whole web falls.
We all concluded that the whole web would fall apart.
So it's really, really important that we try and support the life of all of these things.
First it starts with the sun, then it starts with all the plants and the birds.
And it was just to illustrate that the smallest being and the smallest plant still has a really important role to play within our ecosystems, and without them, other parts of our ecosystem will collapse, or are collapsing.
Often people are afraid to discuss the harsh realities of climate change or biodiversity loss with young people. But not talking is always more of a problem than really opening things up, trusting that the conversation will be more help than worrying in silence.
It's definitely a lot of anxiety around it. I think they get a lot of information and they don't get enough of a platform to actually discuss their fears. They get a lot of information from TikTok, which is not often accurate, or from hearing the radio or the news or at home or listening to adult conversations, but not always included in that conversation. I think it's really important. I know a lot of times people want to protect them from it, but I think protecting them is, it's better to include them and listen. And they often have, yeah, really good innovative ideas as well.
It is all about telling people what the solutions are, rather than just going, oh my God, this is doom and gloom. It's like, look how fast things are changing and showing. So you can inspire young people, then they might actually want to be part of the solution rather than panicking over the issues.
And one of the main reasons kids love getting outside is because it's so much fun.
I'm Rian High.
I'm Noah High.
I'm Orla High.
We've been doing a lot. So once we looked after the park by using some picker pillows to pick up rubbish and put them in. And we also looked for bugs and we looked after the plants a lot.
One day we went to Bull Island.
We saw birds and sandcastles and people and dogs. And so we had fun, we played in the sand, we had lunch, we stayed there for an hour or so, and it was really fun.
We ate sandcastles for about an hour or so, and it was just so fun.
We're still sand in his shoes after Bull Island.
I loved it. It's always good to protect animals and this earth, and that we always need to make sure that we never litter. I actually like nature because it's friendly.
This hands-on approach is something that brings the natural world to life, and teachers want to encourage this too, which is why they enjoyed the Globe in Service so much.
I teach geography and I teach politics and society, and they both obviously have a very large environmental component to them. I like the kind of environmentalism that turns knowledge into action. Do you know, the kind of the head, heart, hand sort of approach to education. So I thought the kind of practical aspects of this would be useful for the classroom, useful for general life even. You know, I'm a scout leader as well, so if I don't get to use it in our overpacked curriculum, I'll get to use it with my scout troop.
My name is Caroline. Step Aside Educate Together, secondary school. I teach horticulture in school, and I'd love to try bring it in as a short course into the junior cycle, because I feel that by introducing teenagers to nature, they're more connected to it, and then they're more conscious about anything that's having a negative impact on nature. Because I think those little nuggets of information you learn when you're in school, you might use right away, but then in later life you'll return to it. If people kind of have a base knowledge, then when they do become adults and they get houses of their own and they start wanting to do their gardens, they'll make like more eco-friendly choices that is better for biodiversity.
I'm Maya. I am working with Globe not very long. I only started with Globe in November, but I've been engaged in environmental education activities since my undergraduate, when I got very curious about what builds nature connectedness in children, but also how do we get children and young people to act for climate change, but also for building these competencies for sustainable development. There's one thing we want the teachers to come away from this is with a handful of solutions-oriented tools that they can bring into their classroom, so that when they talk about environmental changes, climate change, the climate crisis, it can move away from being an overwhelming sense of anxiety and concern into a, here are tools that we can use to do things on our school grounds. Can we look at our school grounds and make a plan for where does a rain garden go? Or could we have a rain barrel to collect water that slows, you know, the impact of rainfall? If we all had that in our schools, and then maybe the student goes home and says, why don't we have a rain barrel at our house? Simple solutions that students and teachers can become more aware of, not only the solutions themselves, but also where do they work? If you know what the benefits or the challenges are with implementing, then you have a better idea of how tangible it is to actually do something locally in your community about these changes.
My eyes have been opened up a little bit to the opportunities. There's just so many small practical experiments that we've been able to do that I've kind of had an idea about before, but when you actually see how simple they can be and how interesting the kids would find it as well, they'd really enjoy it. I've thought about doing it before, but I just haven't had all the stuff ready. Actually, it's quite simple to just go for it and do it on an ongoing basis, and kids get really into that kind of thing.
Thanks to Aileen, Maya and Sabrina, as well as all of the teachers who took the course. Their excitement at the possibilities were contagious and suggests that September could be a whole new start in each of their schools. Search for Globe Ireland to see what they might have happening in your area soon. But if you don't know where to start and you're around Dublin area, Global Action Plan can help get you started.
I suppose looking at what you have available to you, whether you have a school garden or a local park, trying to integrate that into your day, whether it's going outside and doing your English lesson outside in the garden or in the local park. It doesn't have to be something big or major, it can be something simple. But this programme, Park Stewardship, that Global Action Plan run, it's funded by Dublin City Council, and we also run another programme alongside it called Biodiversity Stewardship. And we offer it, it's a free programme to schools, and we go to their local park, their local area, to see what's there and have the children get to know more about the environment, more about nature, and gain a respect and an understanding for why it's so important.
I mean, I am biased, and I totally realise how lucky I am to have someone like my mum in my life. After all, she's the one who's been with me and my interest in nature since the day I was born. And I'm very grateful for all that she shares. Thanks, Mum.
I think it's really, really important to talk about this stuff. I'm not that old, Evie will disagree. I still feel quite young, and the difference in the levels of biodiversity in my local area, in the fields where I used to play as a child, there's a significant difference. There's a loss of birdsong, there's a loss of creatures inside rock pools. You know, there's a beach that we visit every summer, and I used to spend hours looking at lobsters and starfish and all sorts of, I don't know the names for them, but all sorts of little fish and anemones, and those rock pools are fairly much empty now. And maybe children don't know what they've lost because they didn't know it in the first place, but I think it's really important for people who do know to talk about it.
We were learning about the park and nature, and we were learning about the environment and the trash and cleaning up.
Some people
has nothing to do and they really want to do stuff, but people don't let them.
You don't have to be an expert, but you can say, oh, those birds used to be around when I was younger, and figuring out how you could maybe bring them back into your local environment. You know, looking at even your own garden, your own space, and think, how can I make this as biodiverse as possible? Who do I want to visit my garden? How do I make them welcome? And that's one of the things that we did with Gaelscoil Ballymunna. We walked around the park and we looked for corners where insects could thrive and where wild creatures could hide, and there weren't that many. And so sadly we had to create an artificial setting for these creatures, so we made a bug hotel, or Osan na Fehedi. But even that was a huge exercise for them to realise that it matters that we give homes to all the creatures and all the plants, that there is space on this planet for all of us, and that we want it to be as biodiverse as possible, and for everything that's connected to have room to grow and thrive. And I think that you can't look away from the crisis, you can deny it that it's happening, but it's a huge loss to children if you don't speak about nature, even if it's sad.
We get to go to the park sugar.
Yeah, we get to go to the park sugar.
Yeah. They love it. They absolutely love it. This is the best part of my job, getting to see the smiles and the squeals and the happy faces on the children. The first week that we did a bug hunt, there was lots of reluctance, or I suppose trepidation, about going around and looking for gooey things or crawly things. But they all got involved. They all started sharing what they found and being very, very excited about it. And then making the connections between the insect population and the bird population. So we spent a lot of time sitting with our eyes closed, listening for birds and acknowledging that maybe there wasn't that much bird song, and then making the link between the like low level of insects in the park and the low level of bird song in the area. So they, at only 7 years old, were able to make the link between an unhealthy ecosystem, or you know, a non-diverse ecosystem, and what they're missing out on then. So they're missing out on the bird song, they're missing out on the other visitors that might come to your park, like hedgehogs and badgers and foxes and all those kind of good things. At that young age, they were able to see that all living things matter, that all the plants, the flowers, the nettles, the ants, the snails, it all is part of a wider ecosystem that they are part of as well.
I like learning about nature.
Yes, because nature makes the whole earth survive. If we never had nature, we had to go to a different planet.
Ecolution is produced by Nikki Coughlin, with production assistance from Aoife O'Neill, and it's presented by me, Evie Kenny. Why not head to RTE Kids on YouTube to hear more from our panel on why they think nature is so important in their schools.
Oh, are we there yet?
We've all been there. Time for an RTE Junior podcast. You could head off with Nero's class.
The treehouse is moving.
Mamma mia.
Ooh.
Get on the case with cereal.
We had to get into City Hall and end this mystery once and for all.
Or just chill in the neighbourhood.
It wasn't long before the rhino was fast asleep.
Who knows where we'll go? Share a journey with RTE Junior Podcasts.